I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. It's good to have you with us today, and great to be back with you after a week in Tehran. As you may have heard last week on the show, I was there for 7 days. Producer Matthew Bell and I were both first-timers in Iran. It's a country that's been shut off for many in the West since the 1979 Islamic Revolution, and that means we were visiting a place we knew about really only through the headlines and had to be totally open to having our perceptions challenged. And believe me, they were. All this week and next, here on The World, we'll be telling you stories about just how mind-blowing it all was. But since Matthew and I are back with these fresh thoughts, I just wanted to bring him into the studio to talk about some of the things we saw and heard. Matthew, I'd like us just to each run down kind of our top three moments or things that we encountered that tweaked our understanding of the place. So, number one for you.
Yeah, I mean, probably the first one is just that we did this trip at all. We applied for visas, and a lot of news organizations get rejected. They have to apply multiple times. We applied, we jumped through some of the bureaucratic hoops, and voila, all of a sudden we got the green light. And the green light comes from the Ministry of Culture and Islamic Guidance, which oversees the sort of fixer and translation agency that is your kind of official contact and point of entry into Iran. We had an official minder with us the whole time, but we had so much freedom, as other journalists told me, that once you get into Iran, you get on the ground as a Western reporter, it's kind of surprising, and it was to me, how much freedom we had to get out, go around and talk to people that we wanted to, go to places that we wanted to. There were some reminders of security restrictions here and there, but for the most part, it was really interesting how we were out able to get out and just talk to so many people.
You know, I was noticing just as my first big memory, just how years of sanctions and authoritarianism in Iran seem to have emboldened people in a way that I was not expecting, whether it's music that you can now download from the internet using these virtual personal networks, which, you know, a lot of people in Iran seem to be using these kind of channels that can kind of skirt you outside of the eyes of the government in Iran. So these VPNs will make the internet think that you're actually in a place like Helsinki or Austin, Texas, when in fact you're in Iran. So you can actually access YouTube and SoundCloud and Facebook. So apparently some of these VPNs are legal, others are not, but people are using them and not really worried about getting caught. Or perhaps the way many women seem to be challenging how they wear the hijab, letting it slip further back off the hairline until there are these moments when it's like, oh, maybe it's too far back, and then they move it back on the head. So that was kind of a real revelation for me.
It was for me, too. And I think another thing about Tehran in particular, that I just expected it to be sort of a more religious and conservative place,
right,
just as my impression of the way the Islamic Republic works.
Compare it with Cairo, where you spent some time during the revolution, and just how religious it was there. It still is.
Yeah. For example, in Tehran, Friday prayers, when we asked people about Friday prayers, most people kind of looked at us like with this quizzical look, like, "What? I don't go to Friday prayers."
Right.
And then I didn't realize that in Iran, unlike in a place like Egypt, where in Egypt it seems like everyone goes to Friday prayers, it's really sort of a day for prayers. And that's kind of the central part of life on that one day a week. But in Tehran, so many people told us they didn't bother going. And then if you do want to go to Friday prayers in Iran, there are only certain congregational mosques that do the Friday prayer services, and people will indeed congregate there.
Now, I got to get into this, and we will have a story about the food. But for me, my third big revelation was the food. I knew kebab, I knew shishlik, or the marinated lamb chops, but things like the whole idea of introducing fruits into savory dishes, lamb with apricots or chicken with rice flavored with sour cherries. There was a traditional cuisine known as dizi that we ate on the first day. Super simple, earthy flavors, made rich with the addition of a little meat and some fat, some lamb fat. That great yogurt drink with mint and ice. The tradition of tea, and just the way the whole city of Tehran, like Paris, and I drew this comparison a couple of times, seems geared toward really enjoying that food despite years of deprivation caused by sanctions. I mean, they've built up, first of all, a thriving kind of fast food industry that may or may not be a good thing, but you can get great kebab to go. There are green grocers everywhere with extraordinary fruit. And then, you know, those bread ovens in the city just exude this incredible smell. And what about that amazing saffron ice cream dish you had on our last day?
Oh, yeah, that was fun. And so the ice cream dish was saffron ice cream. And then next to it is this very Iranian dessert as well. They're like tiny little almost vermicelli noodles that are starchy and they're frozen. And then you pour lemon juice and sweet cherry syrup over that. So it was a little bit chilly there. I think this would be even more fabulous in the summer months, but wonderful dessert.
So good. So this was just a taste of our first impressions. Matthew, I think back to that one quote we heard that when the revolution happened in 1979, a lot of people knew what they didn't want. They just didn't know what they wanted. And I think what we're going to hear over the next few days as we start to tell some of these Tehran stories is that Iranians in Tehran, anyway, are getting much clearer about what they do want. The World's Matthew Bell, thanks for being here to cross-check some of our notes on Iran. More to come.
You're welcome, Marco.